Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts for a minute. Book of Acts chapter 14. The book of Acts chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 36. We're going to read it and then we're going to pray. The Bible says, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was laid unto his fathers." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, O God, for this camp. Lord, we thank you for these young people that are here ready to hear some preaching tonight. And Lord, we thank you for all the activities that have gone on during the day. But Lord, we're at the most important part of our day, Lord. We're at the evening preaching session. Lord, would you prepare us for the preaching of your word? Lord, would you give us hearts that will be soft and moldable into what you want us to be? Lord, would you keep all distractions away? Would you keep the enemy from this place? Lord, would you fill us with your spirit that we might hear the words of truth being preached? Lord, if somebody not saved, Lord, would you draw them to yourself even now? Lord, if somebody that's not right, would you help them to get right even now? Lord, would you change us this evening? Lord, would you show us a picture of your man David that we might be like him and live for you the way we ought to live for you? And Lord, would you be honored by all that's said and done in this meeting? We pray in Christ's name, amen. So here we are looking in the book of Acts in chapter 14 verse 36, and the Bible says, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God." You see, David served his own generation by the will of God. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, are you serving your own generation? Are you doing anything for your own generation? You know, each one of us here lives in a sphere of influence. We're around people I don't know who you know. You don't know who I know. So I'm in a sphere of influence that I have to affect for God. The Bible says that David served his own generation. He made an impact on the people around him in his generation. And to be honest, he's still making an impact in our lives even today. Here we are all these years later, having a week away looking at the life of David. And we're not even looking at the full life of David. We're really just looking at the life of David when he was a young person. But you know what? David had such an impact on people's lives when he was around that when people met him, they were changed for the good normally. Now we know David's life has had some ups and downs and different stuff like that. But in the end up, when you look back, you remember that David was a man after God's own heart. David was a godly man. He was the best king there was. And you know, we would do well to take snippets out of David's life and apply them to our own, because David was a man that lived for God. David was a man that had his heart set in line for what God wanted him to do. You know, when we read about David served his own generation, he went further than everybody else that had gone before him. He went further than everybody else that was in his generation. He lived for God more intensely than all the people that lived around him, than all the people in his kingdom, than all the other kings that were around in the day. You know, David grabbed hold of what God wanted him to do, and he lived it all the time. We know he messed up sometimes, but he got right and kept moving forward. And you know what? The sin that David had in his life cost him greatly. And you know what? It's the same in our lives. When there's sin in our life, it will cost us greatly. And the consequences of my sin from my past still affect me even today. I don't escape it. I have images and things that I've done that sometimes come back to my mind. I have, you know, times I've stolen from people, times I've hurt people. And you know, all the images that I have seen in my life are still there. You know, you can't get rid of what you put before your eyes. That's why you need to be so careful what you do in life. That's why you need to be so careful what you look at on television, what you listen to. Because what goes in stays in. You know, I don't listen to any ungodly music. I don't watch television or anything like that. But let me tell you, I can still sing worldly songs that I learned when I was a kid growing up. I can be walking through Tesco's and hear a song and bang, I'll be right there. Before I know it, I'm walking to the beat and I'm singing that song. Now, it doesn't sound too good, but I can sing it. Let me tell you, because you know what? Your mind is like a little computer and what goes in stays in. You might forget it for a time, but it's still there. And you get the right smell, you get the right thought, you get the right word, and that will bring you right back to where you were. In the men's home and the ladies' home, we don't have any television, or we don't have any music or anything like that. We don't have any worldly music or anything like that. And one of the main reasons, besides that it's sinful to be listening to that wrong kind of music, is if we were to put certain kinds of music on in the men's home, we could take them men back to times in their life where they were doing drugs without even having to leave the men's home. I could stick on certain songs that I wouldn't tell you now, but I could stick on certain songs and bang, I could have 90% of the men back sticking a needle in their arm or smoking cannabis or doing a whole host of other drugs. Because music and lifestyle goes together. I want you to remember this. I've only looked at a tiny bit of notes, but I want you to remember this. And this goes for whatever church you're involved in. I don't know Moses, and Moses don't know me. But make sure wherever church you're in, they have good music. Amen. Remember this. If you've all got a pencil, you need to write this down, because this is important, okay? And this is free. This isn't even in the notes. You can pay me for this later on. You're writing this down? And always remember this. You need to take this home with you. This needs to be part of your Christian life. No matter where you move to, if you move to a different county, if you move to a different country, you remember this and you mark it down and keep it well, because this is an important issue. Right music leads to right worship. Wrong music leads to wrong worship. All the time. All the time. All the time. Right music leads to right worship. Wrong music leads to wrong worship. You need to make sure that you're protecting your little ears and you're not letting things across your ears that shouldn't be there. I don't care if your friends are listening to it. It doesn't mean you have to listen to it. And listen to me. See them little iPods and phones that you have going around and you have the little earpiece in? Listen, they are one of the most dangerous tools that the enemy uses in people's lives. I had a man stand up in RU last week who was clean off drugs 5 years. He got married and stuff like that. He was working in a Christian program. And you know what he says? He said on Friday night he stood up. He's detoxing off drugs at the moment. He was after being clean for 5 whole years. And he stood up. You know what he said? You know what happened to me? He says, I bought a car when I was clean off drugs. I bought a car and the car had a radio in it. And I started listening to the wrong kind of music. And it led me back to drugs. You know where it led him? First of all, he got in. He was driving down the road. No problem at all. Walking with God. Reading his Bible. You know, just bored sitting in the car. One day he changed the channel onto the wrong kind of channel. Started nodding his head, driving down the road, listening to the music. I tell you, it wasn't long until he was smoking a cigarette. And it wasn't long until he was sticking a needle back in his arm. And he was back where he had just came from. Let me tell you. Right music leads to right worship. Wrong music leads to wrong worship. You make sure that you get the right music in you or you're finished. You can never be all that God wants you to be if you're listening to the wrong kind of music. When I finished an 18-month Christian program over in Scotland, they didn't teach us about music or anything like that. They just taught us, listen to any kind of music as long as it's a Christian band. Well, that's nonsense. That's like saying I can drink any alcohol or take any drugs I want as long as they're Christian alcohol or Christian drugs. There's no such thing as Christian drugs, and there's no such thing as Christian rock music. And we need to remember that wrong music leads to wrong worship, but right music leads to right worship. And I know for a fact there's people in here, because I can see it in your eyes tonight, that are listening to the wrong kind of music. You don't think it's hurting you too much, but let me tell you, it's doing you damage that you don't know about. And it will keep you in bondage and ensnared long after you stop listening to it. Most of you, if you walk with God, will come to the place in your life where you'll say, you know what, I have to leave this behind if I'm going to move forward. There are things in your life that you are going to have to drop if you're going to walk the Christian life and get anywhere. Oh, there are people that walk the Christian life and they're walking, but they're on the treadmill. They're not going anywhere. And you know what, there's people in churches for donkey's years, 30 and 40 years, on the treadmill, going nowhere. You know why? They won't put down the cigarettes, won't stop watching the TV, won't stop listening to the wrong kind of music, because it's not hurting them. But they've been walking on the same road for 30 years, and they haven't got any further. The depth of their Christian life is the same as it was probably a month after they became a Christian. And they're not going nowhere for Jesus Christ. They're never going to make an impact on their community, on their generation, like David did. Let me tell you, David was a man after God's own heart because he done the things that pleased God and didn't do the things that pleased everybody else. He was a man that stood out from the crowd. He was a man that made a difference. He was a man that left a legacy in the lives of those he came in contact with. He was a man that made a difference. And let me tell you, you could be somebody like that. You could be somebody that has impact. You know how many people come and go, move in and out of people's lives that have no impact on them at all. But then there's the key few that when they're in somebody's life, they have a great impact. You know, I know in my life I have a great impact on a certain sphere of influence in my life. I know there's a bunch of people that really don't like me. There's a bunch of people that really don't like me. That might surprise you because I'm such a nice guy. But I'm telling you, there's a bunch of people that hate my guts. And that's okay. You know why they hate my guts? Because I'm very forward about what I say. Some, you know, if they're not going the right way, I say it. And, you know, that doesn't win a whole load of friends for a long time. But you know what? It makes impact on people's lives. And you need to be willing to stand up and stand up for God in your life. You need to be willing to take a slap in the face. Slap in the face. Man, if any of you want a slap in the face, I'd love to give you one. You know, I've never given anybody a real slap in the face like that, but I'd love to. If you're doing a skit like that next year, please call me. I'll do that all day long. We could have had a good practice session. I could have got my wife's face lotion and all that. We would have gave you stuff like that. Would have helped you out a whole lot. We could see he was hurting. His face was all red and stuff, and he was sitting there. But that's it. Be a man. Take the slap on the face. Well, we better get into the notes, otherwise we're going to be up late tonight and I have a long drive home. We're looking at David. We're looking at the impact he made in people's lives. We're looking at the legacy he left. Well, let me tell you, what kind of legacy are you going to leave? You know what? What kind of impact do you have on your friends? Is it a good impact? Is it a good influence that you have? Or are you a stumbling block to your friends by the attitude that you show, by the music you listen to, by the things that you do, by the filth that comes out of your mouth, by the things you say, pulling people down, tearing people down, gossiping about people? What kind of impact are you having? When it's all said and done and you're standing before God and he says, you know what, you were in Johnny's life there, and you know what, you were a stumbling block to him, you hindered him from walking with me, you brought sin into his life, and you were just a problem to him. He could have been so much better if you hadn't have been in his life. You know what? I think often we're stumbling blocks to people when we could be stepping stones. God wants you to be a stepping stone to the people that's in your life. So here's a couple of questions for you to think about, and then we'll get in looking at David's life. What is your life all about? I want everybody paying attention, right? What is your life all about? What are you all about? You know what? What am I all about? Somebody tell me, what am I all about? Dan, what am I all about? Serving the Lord. Okay, by doing what? Exactly. You know what? We've only met a few times and he knows that about me. You know why? Because it's evident. It shows out in my life. That's what I'm all about. What shows out in your life? What are you all about? What are you all about? What would your friend say you're all about? Because I tell you, they'd know, if they were able to get up here, they'd tell me exactly what you're doing in your life and what you're all about and what your priorities are in life and what your priorities aren't. You know what? If God's a priority in your life, your friends will know it. If the television is a priority in your life, your friends will know it. If music is a priority in your life, your friends will know it. Let me tell you, we need to remember that we're having an impact on people around us. What's your life all about? Where are you going? Do you know where you're going? You're here at a Christian Bible camp. Let me ask you, are you a Christian? And you say, oh, I'm a Christian. Are you sure? And what makes you think that you're a Christian? What makes you think that? Because you're at a Christian camp? Because you've had a warm, fuzzy feeling in your belly after some preaching? Or is it because you've actually read the Bible and somebody's taken a Bible and actually led you to God from the Bible? Do you know what you're saved from? Do you know what being a Christian is? Do you understand what it's all about? If you don't leave this room tonight without finding out. Now, I'm not saying you have to become a Christian tonight if you're not one. But I am saying you should find out what it's all about. You know what? There's no point saying you don't like it or you're not into it until you know exactly what you're not into. What's God's purpose for you? God's purpose for your life is for you to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. How are you going to fulfill the plan that God has for you? Well, we're going to help you. The preachers have been trying to help you all week to be the person that God wants you to be. We're going to try to help you by looking at the life of David. So you've been looking at all this week about King David and how God prepared him to be a king when he was a young man. Because he didn't learn it after he became a king. You know what? You don't learn to minister to people when you start ministering to people. You actually learn beforehand. You don't learn to be a good person when the opportunity comes up. You learn to be a good person by the choices you make early on. So, let's give you a couple of illustrations, right? I wonder this week, did you come prepared for a good time, or did you come prepared to actually learn more about God and learn to walk with God a little bit better? You know, I wonder, do you think your parents just sent you here so to get you out of hair for a few days? I think they just paid, the minute they heard you could go away for a week, man, they were straight to the credit union, got a loan, and said, listen, we'll chip them off. And you know, the minute they dropped you off, they had a party. Let me tell you, there was a party going on in your house the day you left, I'm sure. And giving your parents a break. But you know what? Your parents didn't send you here to get you out of the house for a week so they could have a break. Your parents sent you here because they know that you desperately, desperately need to meet with God.
Amen.
Or else you're finished. Or else you're finished. Or else you're going to end up the way I ended up. In the world, up to your neck in it, going nowhere. And you know what? By the grace of God, hopefully, 5-10 years' time, you might get right and come back to God. But you know what? It doesn't have to be like that. You don't have to spend 10 years in the wilderness. You don't have to spend 10 years in a far country like the prodigal son. You can move forward from now. You don't have to wait 10 years. You know what? It's not a good testimony if somebody says I was a raging drug addict for years. That's not a good testimony. But a good testimony is, you know what? I served God from when I was a kid. I never done drugs. I never drank. I never stopped going to church. I stayed in church. Because you know what? That's a consistent testimony that the world is lacking. Now, there's plenty of Egypts like me that were wrecked their lives and then went back to God because they were so in need of help. But you know what? A good testimony is all about somebody had a consistent walk with Jesus Christ all their life and stayed in church, plugged in. They had an impact on people's lives from the day they got saved. From when they were young, they were plugged in and right with God and moving forward for the Lord. That's somebody that has impact for God. That's a pure testimony. I only have a half a testimony because half my life I was a drug addict. I've already wasted years of my life. How many other people could I have had impact on if I had been right since I was a kid? Because I got saved when I was a kid. If I hadn't went to the world and hadn't went to drugs, how much more of an impact would I have had if I had kept right? Who knows? Could I have had 2 ladies' homes and 3 men's homes open by now? The amount of time I wasted pleasing myself was just foolish. So let me tell you, I used to live on a farm. Does anybody here have a dog? Anybody here have a dog? Okay. Lady across in the back. What's your dog's name? Jesse. Okay. Let me tell you. See if I got Jesse on a farm. How old is Jesse? An old dog? How old is Jesse? 2. Okay. Well, see Jesse. See if I was to bring Jesse to a farm. And I was to try to get Jesse to herd some sheep for me. You know it's a sheepdog that herds sheep. You know the farmer doesn't run around on all fours like a dog, barking at them. At least not normal farmers. but you see Jesse, folks. If I wanted Jesse to be a sheepdog for me to herd in sheep and do a job on a farm, I would have had to get Jesse from when Jesse's a pup and teach Jesse the lessons when Jesse was a pup. You know what happens when Jesse's 2 years of age and I bring Jesse to that farm and I'm trying to get Jesse to do jobs for me and run and get the sheep and do stuff like that. You know what happens? The dog has already learned lessons and already has, you know, he already has things ingrained in him. And a bad habit, that's exactly the word I was looking for, Dan. I'm glad you came to help me tonight. He's already learned bad habits at a 2-year-old dog. He can't unlearn them. It's really, really hard. See, in my life, folks, I didn't learn the lessons I needed to learn when I was a kid. All right? I never had my teenage years. I never learned the lessons of a teenager. So have a guess what happened when I got off drugs. I had to go and relearn all the stuff that I had missed out on in my youth. And let me tell you, it is hardcore to change when you're old. It's hardcore. It's degrading. It's a nightmare. Let me tell you, it is just awful trying to change when you're old. You know what? My uncle drives a car and he teaches guys how to drive and he's a driving instructor. But you know what? He says, Leighton, it's twice as easy. I give someone half the lessons if they have never drove. Once they have the gist of driving, you know what? They've no bad habits. It's much easier for them to get in a good practice of driving than it is for somebody that's been driving for 20 years and comes, thinks they know it all, driving the way they want, bad habits. And trying to get somebody to unlearn them is much more difficult than teaching somebody how to drive. You know what, folks? It's hard to unlearn the lessons that you need in life. You know what? If you make the mistake of going into the world and you don't listen this week and you don't get right this week, you're going to make some bad decisions in your life. You're going to go the wrong way. And one day you're going to have to turn it all around and you're going to have to get right and you're going to have to humble yourself and you're going to have to crawl on your hands and knees back to God and back the way you came. You're going to have to start doing right and then you're going to have to unlearn all the stuff that you've learned in your sin. And let me tell you, it's a much better deal if you just learn them right now. Amen. You know what? The easiest drug to say no to is the first one. Amen. The easiest drug to say no to is the first one. See, after that, you're finished. You're finished. And you know what? When I was a guy growing up, I didn't grow up. I wasn't thinking when I first started doing drugs, you know what? I want to be a drug addict. I want to stick needles in my arm. You know what? Bobby will tell you, he never thought like that either. We just wanted to have a good time and do what all our friends are doing. But you know what? I so wish I had not done that. I so wish I had stayed in church when I was a kid and done right. Because I wouldn't have all these scars in my mind that I have right now. I tell you, my mind's messed up because of the stuff I've done. And it's but by the grace of God that He pulled me out of that life. But you know what? Not everybody gets out of that life. Not everybody gets out. Not everybody gets out of our country. Very few, to be honest. You know what? If I was to get Jesse and try to teach Jesse new tricks, it'd be hard for the dog to obey my voice. But you know what? If I could get that dog when it's young and teach it to do what I needed to do, that dog would be a great sheepdog and it would do all that's needing to be done if it obeyed when it's young. You know, in your life, you know, if you start pleasing yourself and doing your own thing, you will end up going down the garden path of sin and destruction. And it will end up costing you more than you want to pay. It will cost you in your life if you don't change this week. You are being presented with an opportunity to change. And if you don't change before you've learned the bad habits, you're going to regret it. Lamentations 3:27 says, "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." There are lessons in life that you need to learn when you're young. You know what? I'm going to give you some more free advice. And you're not going to like this one. Stay in school.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, I know there's people sitting in here tonight and they're going, stay in school. The minute I can get out of school, I'm gone. You know what? That's the way I used to think. And you know what? That's the way most people think. But you know what? The minute people get out of school, you know what they're trying to do? I want to get back to school. You know what? Honestly. You know, when you think you're never going to get out of the place, and then once you get out, you say, well, why did I do that? And you're trying to get back in. So whatever you do, stay in school and do right. You know, a life for Christ doesn't start when you're old. It starts right now. You know, Satan spun the word of lie, telling us we live for ourselves when we're young. We live for our families when we're middle age, and then we live for God when we're old. It's a total lie from the pit of hell, because he knows if he gets you when you're young, he'll have you for the rest of your life. You know what, you need to learn the lessons and bear your yoke in your youth. You need to learn the lessons of life right now. You know, we're studying the life of David. And David was God's man. And he was used as a young person for the Lord. Did you hear that? He was used as a young person for the Lord. So here's my next statement. What's your excuse? What's your excuse? If David could be used as a young person for the Lord, what is your excuse not to be used of God? I don't know enough. When the blind man got his sight back, he didn't know anything. He just says, I was blind, but now I see. He had a testimony for God.
You know what? The minute you get saved, the minute you meet with God, you have a testimony, you can be used of God. It's all about you being willing to be used of God and not just being lazy and sitting around expecting other people to do it. You know, I hope you're here, you know, to do whatever it takes when it comes to camp and it comes to changing. Or are you just here because that boy comes to camp that you like? Or maybe it's that girl that looked at you 2 years ago and maybe you come to camp because she comes. Well, she only looked at you because you had red sauce still in your face from lunch. That's the only reason why she looked at you, because you looked ridiculous. You know, whatever your reason is for coming to camp, if it's not because I want to learn to walk with God more, I want to be used more of God, if that's not your reason, you're here for the wrong reasons. But you can change that tonight. You could get right tonight. You could make these last couple of days of camp really, really count in your life. They could be a turning point in your life. This is bigger than just you. They could be a turning point in your generation. Just like David will have an impact on his generation. Psalm 37 verse 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." You know, what's in your life that's hindering you from being used of God today? Are your steps being ordered by the Lord? Is your life ordered by the Lord? Is it the way God wants it to be? Or are you just too focused on playing video games all day the minute you get in from school? You can't read your Bible because you're playing video games. You can't go to church because you watch too much television. You know, you can't do this and you can't do that for God because you're too focused on yourself. Your steps aren't ordered by the Lord. If your steps were ordered by the Lord, you would be in church. If your steps were ordered by the Lord on a daily basis, you would read your Bible in the morning. The Bible says, "Those that seek me early shall find me. Those that seek me late shall fall asleep before you find them." That's the Leighton Kelly version. That's not actually in the Word of God. Just mark that out. Rewind that and start again. Just in case anybody gets that and thinks I'm teaching you your wrong stuff. But listen to me. If your life is too busy for you to be ordered by the Lord in the way you live, you know, you're missing out. You're missing out. If I had known what I know now when I was a young person, I would have stayed in church and I would have been at every single service that was on in the church. I tell that to all the drug addicts. I say, listen, if I had known what I know now, I'd be in church every single service. Because that's where God changes people. That's where God speaks to people. It's the main avenue for us as people to learn of God and to be used of God is in the local church. You know, God wants you to be in church every service. Why? Because he just wants to pour water on you. He just wants to pour stuff on you and get you changed. But you know what? You need to be there if you're going to be ordered by the Lord. You know, but I guarantee you can't be because there's too much rubbish cluttering up your life. Too much stuff in the way. And God can't penetrate. God can't get through. You know why? Because you have too many other idols in your life getting in God's way. You know what? Put some of the stuff aside and start seeking after God. And you'll never regret it. You know, David ended up being a great king. But to get to that place in his life where he was a great king, he had to go through life's training when he was a young man. We need to go through life's training as young men. You know, everybody wants to be leaders, but nobody wants to be trained up in the things that need to be done. You know what? I have about four different ladies right now in my RU program. You know what they want to be? Council group leaders. You know what? They don't want to be helpers. They don't want to go out and advertise and get addicts in and phone the ladies and encourage them out. You know what they want? They want to be leaders. Everybody wants to be a leader. Everybody wants to be the boss. But nobody wants to go through the hard school to get there. David didn't, you know, just end up the king. When David was learning the lessons of life, he was preparing to be the king. So let's look at it. You know, he was learning to be a servant. The Bible says in Matthew 20:27 says, "For whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." You know, David knew this lesson in his life. He knew this as a reality. You know, from when he was a young boy, he was serving his father looking after sheep. And you say, big deal, ain't he? He was looking after some sheep. Well, it's a much more important issue when we read it in the Bible and you take it for what it is. He wasn't just looking after sheep. He was in training to be king over thousands and thousands of people when he was sitting there looking after a couple of sheep on the side of the hill. You know what? He was a diligent shepherd. I used to live on a sheep farm. Don't take this the wrong way, but I have helped sheep give birth to sheep. Lambs. I was going to say I've given birth to sheep, but that would have sounded totally wrong. That's my edumacation coming out again. But let me tell you, You know, I picked up sheep the minute, I picked up lambs the minute the sheep have had them, and I'd have afterbirth all over my hands, and I carried them back into the pen. Listen, I've done all that. I know what it takes to be diligent on a sheep farm. And see, when it's lambing season, you know, you will see the shepherd getting up 2 and 3 and 4 times a night and going out to the sheep pen to see if the lambs have been born, to make sure they're okay and make sure the sheep are okay. And if he's not, he's a lazy shepherd. But a proper shepherd will go out and check them sheep 3 and 4 times a night, no problem. And let me tell you, when David was on the side of the hill and he was looking after the sheep, he was in preparation to be a king that was going to look after thousands of people. And he was diligent about looking after the sheep, and he was diligent about looking after the people when he became king. But let me tell you, he was learning valuable lessons when he was becoming a king. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 17 for me. Let's just see how serious David took the task of looking after some dirty little sheep. 4 Samuel 17 in your Bibles. And we're going to stay in 4 Samuel for the rest of the evening, so make sure that you keep your finger there. 4 Samuel 17. Look at verse 34. The Bible says, "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock." Verse 35 says, "And I went out after him, and I smote him, and I delivered out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and I smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear." You know what? When David was out looking after sheep, folks, he took that job so serious, he was willing to risk his life for them sheep. You know what? He stood on that hill, and a bear came one day, and a lion came another day. And you know what? He didn't run home to daddy. He didn't phone the police. He didn't phone the army. He didn't phone the Air Corps. The Navy SEALs didn't jump out of helicopters trying to rescue him. You know what? He risked his own life for them sheep. He done whatever it took to get them sheep back. And the Bible says he was able to go to King Saul and tell King Saul, "You know what? This is my testimony of how diligent I've been in my job that my father gave me. I will do whatever it takes for the cause. I will get a slap in the face, no problem. I will face a big grizzly bear if it takes it. I will go after a lion." And you know what? There's plenty of lions and grizzly bears living in Ireland today. You know what? I meet them all the time. You know, they're all over the place. But you know what you need to be doing? You need to be willing to go and snatch the lamb back out her mouth. And you know, you can do that as a young person. You can go and you can give people the gospel. You can go and share your testimony with people and help people see Christ and get salvation. You know, how serious do you take school? When David was doing his duty, there was no school back then. When David was doing his duty, he was diligent on the side of the hill. He was looking after them sheep. But let me tell you, how serious do you take going to school? Because that's your job right now. Your job is going to school. You know what? If you don't take it serious, you're going to regret it. And you know what you'll be doing? You'll be either working, you'll either not be working, or you'll be working for minimum wage, regretting that you didn't pay attention in school. If you will just pay attention now, it will pay dividends later on. Your task in life, what God wants you to do, is do what your parents want you to do. What your parents want you to do is stay in school, pay attention, and get a good job and a good education to prepare you for life. That's good advice. That's good advice. You know what? Take my advice, stay in school. I always regretted leaving school. You know what? He was in training even when he was a boy sitting on the side of that mountain. And you know, he learned to do the job that was given to him. Now this is key, folks, because when we're looking at the life of David, when you're studying his life, and I've been studying his life now for weeks getting ready for tonight, and familiarizing myself with the Bible and for what it says about David. And see, David, when we're reading that he was diligent and he was looking after the sheep and he was fighting bears and lions and all that, it's important that it should stand out, because it showed his attitude to obedience to his father who asked him to do a task. You know what? I guarantee you, his brothers weren't out doing that job. His brothers were all hanging around the house having a good time, doing other stuff. But David was out there night and day. He was the workhorse of the family. He was the guy that was given all the dirty jobs. And you know what? He didn't mind a bit. He just wanted to be obedient and do a good job. And do a job all the way. And he was willing to sacrifice to do that job. You know what? Make sure you do a good job when you have to do a job. You know what? Remember, we're studying a man's life who is called a man after God's own heart. So when we read about his work ethic, we need to take note and remember. You know what? He was courageous. He was willing to stand up and be counted for God no matter what others thought of him.
You know what? When I was in the Haven, I went to a Christian drug rehab for 18 months and I was a heroin addict. And when I went over there for the first week, I snuck out of the place, went down to the local town and I brought heroin back to the program. I done heroin in the program. The fella that done it with me got thrown out and he was never seen again. But they let me stay because they couldn't give me a drug test to prove that I was taking drugs. For the next 3 weeks after that, I was taking prescription pills that I was getting off other people on the program. I was out smoking cigarettes and smoking cannabis, and it was a non-smoking program, and obviously none of this was allowed. But I was still living the life of an addict outside. And one day, it dawned on me, Leighton, if you don't start getting serious about your life right now, you're going to be an addict forever. So you know what I had to do? I had to do what some of you need to do with your friends. I had to go into all the other men that were on the program, and I had to get them all. I got them all into the pill room one day. And you know what I done? I made a stand for Jesus Christ in my life. And I stood up and I said, you know what? I've been out smoking, taking drugs. I've been smoking heroin in this place. And I came here to get my life sorted out. I'm just wasting my time and everybody else's time. From today, I will never smoke another cigarette in here. I will not be involved in it. I will not be doing drugs. I will not be asking for your tablets. And this is the truth. And I says, you know what? If I even hear of any of yous doing it, I'm going straight to the staff and I'm telling the staff exactly what you're doing. I want nothing to do with your sin. The Bible says that for him to know what to do right and not to do it, the Bible says it is sin. Amen. And if I was to keep quiet about the sin that was in their lives, I was as guilty as they were and I knew it. And I knew the only way I could make a real stand for Jesus Christ, if I was willing to stand up and say, you know what? If you do it, I'm going to the staff and I'm going to tell them. I was there to get my life sorted out. I hope that's what you're here for. See the messing? It's great to have a laugh. I love seeing that guy getting slapped across the face. I love seeing the fella getting a pie in the face. But you know what? You're here to get your life sorted out. And if there's dodgy stuff going on that you know shouldn't be going on, I'm not talking about little petty stuff. I'm talking about serious stuff. You make sure that you go tell the staff. You make sure you go tell the leadership. If there's something going on with your friends, you make sure you tell somebody and get yourself accountable and get out of that community of friends that you're in. I had to make a stand for God where I was, or you know what? I wouldn't be here today. Now, I know we're going long, but that's okay. That's okay tonight because we're only on the first point. If you need to stand up and stretch your legs, by all means, stand up and stretch your legs. Just be quick and sit back down. You know what? We need to take David's advice and be a good worker. Have a good work ethic. We need to do what David done and stand up and be counted for Jesus Christ. You know what? Do you think David was God's first choice? Well, I was thinking about this and I'm not sure of the answer. Let's look in your Bible at chapter 16, verse 7. Just wanted to share a couple of thoughts out of David's life. We're going to be a bit all over the place. And I think the sermon is a bit all over the place, really, because half of the stuff I'm telling you isn't even on my notes. And the other half that's on my notes is all over the place because I've been so busy lately. And I'm starting a ladies' home and I'm working up there all night. And, you know, after church last night, I was up varnishing two floors up in the place. So it's been hectic. So I've been putting this sermon together for about a week. And it's just been thoughts from all over the place. Right? So that's where we're at really tonight. But look at verse 7, it says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." You know what? This is a great verse. But look what it says about him. It says, "I have refused him." You know what? For him to have refused him, he must have weighed him up and checked him out. You know what? If he had just picked David, he picked David. He wouldn't have had to refuse the brother. He wouldn't have had to refuse anybody else. He probably went down the line checking them brothers out. No. Nobody that day would have picked David as being the future king. Nobody picked him for anything else but doing the dirtiest stinking jobs out in the field. Sleeping out with spiders crawling in his hair. You know, worms in his socks and all that kind of stuff. You know what? He probably didn't sleep for weeks on end. He was just a shepherd boy living out there with the sheep. And let me tell you, the nits on his head were probably about that size. He was sleeping out with them sheep that long. But you know what? Nobody that day would have picked him to be the future king. But you know what, folks? God doesn't look on the outside. God wasn't looking on the dirty fingernails from working hard. God was looking on the clean, pure heart in David's chest. God was looking at the future man. When God was looking at him, he was seeing the king. He was seeing the man after his own heart.
No, he was seeing David, you know, fighting for the Lord and being right out there and doing everything that was needing to be done. See, the man looks on the outside. Man sees somebody who has a good education, who looks good, who presents well, who looks good in a suit. And he says, oh, that's the man. He has gifts. He has talents. You know, I always hear that about missionaries and stuff like that. And then they never stay. You know what? Sometimes they're not willing to get their hands dirty and get into the battle and get into the fight. Listen, man looks on the outside. If it looks good on the outside, listen, it's probably not right. Because God looks on the heart. And God's looking on the heart in this realm tonight. And God is looking at you, and you know what? Somebody's going to refuse to use you. You know why? Because your heart isn't clean, isn't pure before Him. You know the sin there. He's pointed the sin out to you this week, I'm sure. And you're either at the moving forward and getting the sin right, or you're saying, you know what, God, I'm not going to get this right. I'm just going to clam up. I'm going to get out of here. And you know what? I'm not going to get this right. I'm not willing to give this up. But you know what? David was a man after God's own heart. God looked on him and picked him out of a crowd because he stood out from the crowd because he was different than everybody else. You know, nobody would have picked him out that day, but God did. So let's ask ourselves the questions. What did God see in David? What did he see? He was nothing to look at. He hadn't done anything. He hadn't done anything. He killed the bear and killed the lion probably at that stage. I don't even know if he had done at that stage. But you know what? He was nothing to look at. You know what? He had no certificates for doing anything good. He hadn't got a real good education. He hadn't got really much to offer. But you know what God saw? God saw a man who was sitting on the side of a field, on the side of a hill, doing what his father wanted him to do, being diligent in it, being a hard worker, being a servant to his father, being somebody that when he had the time, when he was looking after sheep, you know what he used to do? He used to sing to God. He used to worship God. He used to be thinking about God. He used to be praying to God. He used to be seeking after God. You know why? Because he wasn't busy looking up and pleasing himself. He was a servant. He was wanting to serve God. He was wanting to be used of God. When he was on that hill that day looking after them sheep, he wasn't just looking after the sheep. He was in preparation to be that king that we want to see. You know what? He was that guy getting ready to fight Goliath on that hill. You know what? He was seeking after God with all his heart. He was wanting to be used of God. He was walking with God. And you know what? He didn't know a whole lot, but he knew all he needed to know. He knew Jesus. He knew he needed to walk with God and he needed to do right. And that's all you need to do too. You need to just get right with God and start moving forward for God. You know what? He had the same. We need the same two issues in our hearts today. We need to be hard workers and we need to have a clean heart before God. If you don't have a clean heart before God, God can't use you. I wonder if anybody in Victory Youth Camp this week fits the description that God's looking for. You know what? David didn't mind looking after the sheep. You know, he spent time thinking about the Lord. You know, his heart was knitted in a close relationship with God at that time. You know what? Let's go and look at some more verses in the Bible. Look at verse 18 of chapter 16. And then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen the son of Jesse, a Bethlehemite, that is, cunning and playing, a mighty valiant man, a man of war, prudent in matters, a comely person, and the Lord is with him. You know what? This verse tells you a whole lot about David, but look at the first thing that it mentions about him. He's cunning and playing. You know what it tells you? You know what? David used these gifts that God had given him for the glory of God. He wasn't embarrassed about it. If he could sing, he would sing. If he could play, he would play. If he would serve, he would serve. He would do whatever it takes. He used these gifts and his time for God. And you know what? Other people noticed it in his life. You know what? The people took note when they saw that's what he was doing with his life. I wonder, do you use your gifts for God? You know, God is looking for somebody to use their gifts for Him. And that's a way He can test our faith to see if we're willing to use what He has already given us. You know, these points in David's life are shaping him to be the man that God wanted him to be. The man with a clean heart, the servant attitude, the man willing to use his gifts. You know, all these were vital for him to develop when he was a youth. It's so hard to develop them when you're older. A few more and we're going to be done. He learned to speak up for the Lord when he was young. And this is key if you're wanting to keep your testimony and you're wanting to keep a clean heart. This is key for you as a young person. It's a valuable, valuable lesson you need to learn. You know, this is a characteristic missing out on most young people.
Most young people will not speak up for what is right, even though they know they need to. And they think about it when stuff is going wrong, when somebody's using bad language or somebody's doing wrong or cheating or stealing. They think about it and then they shy away from it because they don't want confrontation. We have young people in the world today that just don't like confrontation. Why is that? Because they're more bothered about what other people think of them rather than what's right. And you need to be willing to stand up for God. We're going to look at it in the Bible now. You need to be willing to stand up for God and make a difference, just like I did when I was trying to walk with God and in that place. Look at 1 Samuel 17, chapter 17. You on there? John chapter 17. Look at verse 23 down to 26. The Bible says, "And as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion, a Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and he spake according to the same words, and David heard them." And we all know what he was doing. He was mocking God. "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, 'Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he. Surely is he come up, and it shall be. And the man that killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel.' And David spake unto the men that stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine? And he taketh away the reproach of Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?'" You see, there was a bunch of men, and the king and all, King Saul was there. All the big muscly guerrilla men were there with their big weapons and their big talk, big macho talk, when they were walking up to fight the Philistines before they saw Goliath. They would have been saying, "I'm going to rip this fella's heart out. I'm going to kill this fella with this spoon. I'm going to chop this fella's head off. I'm going to drink this fella's blood." Probably weren't going that far, but you know what? You get the point. I know if I was going to do that, I'd be thinking the same thing. I'd be trying to get myself psyched up. I'm sure they all done that. But you know what? When that big, dirty Goliath fella stood out, you know what? They all walked backwards. And everybody was afraid. And nobody saw it as an opportunity. Nobody saw it as a chance to prove God in their life. Nobody saw it. Everybody wanted to flee. Everybody wanted to run away. Everybody remembered that they had something in the oven at home and they needed to get home. Everybody backed off. Nobody said a word. There was a fella mocking God. There was a fella doing wrong, standing in the face of God. And you know what? Nobody stood up. And then remember, dirty little David, he strolls up with the gifts for his brothers from his dad, and he's skipping and jumping, singing Christian songs, buzzing along. And he walks in and he sees this big Goliath fella, and he's standing there mocking God. But you know what? All his brothers and all that, they were all cowering away and in the backgrounds and in the shadows looking around, you know, standing behind the tent just so nobody can see them. And you know what? They're all panicking. They're all afraid. Nobody's wanting to stand up and be counted. But you know what? There was a young boy who had his heart clean and pure before God. There was a young man who was a servant of God. There was a young man who was willing to stand up and be counted in his generation. There was a young man that was willing to stand up in front of his friends and his family and proclaim, "God is still in control. God is the one that's running this place. And why is this person mocking God? Are you not ashamed of yourselves?" So basically, that's what he's saying. And you know what? They hated him for it. You know, they wanted to beat him up right then and there. But you know what? They didn't beat him up. Well, the other men shrank down. David stood high. And you know what? At that point in David's life, everybody could see, you know what? There's something different about this young fella. There's something different about this fella. We're all cowering. We're all whimpering. There's people head and shoulders above him. And you know what? He's the only one that's standing forward saying, "Let's do something here. Let's move forward." Everybody else is backing off and being negative, and he's coming forward and saying, "Come on, let's go. Let's go get him right now." And he's wild and he's wanting to go get him. And you know what? There was nobody like that. And that was a day that he stood out from the crowd. But let me tell you, it's not easy to stand up in front of people that you know and proclaim what's right when they're saying wrong. It's not easy for you to go back to your school and there's people using bad language and blaspheming God's name for you to stand up and say, "You know what? That's God's name. We're using that as a curse word. Don't use that name in front of me." You know what? People don't curse in front of me. They don't. My family are unsaved. People don't curse in front of me and my family. You know, they wouldn't dare smoke in front of me or anything like that. Not because I'm going to kill them or anything like that. Just because, you know what, I've said it in the past and now it's not an issue. Because why? Because I took a stand a long time ago. And it means I don't have to keep making a stand every time I see them. Because I made the stand back then. I laid the groundwork and now it's easy for me to keep there. But let me tell you,
David's life, he's standing up, he's standing out, he's standing for Jesus here. He's not compromising. You know, the RU principle, small compromises lead to great disasters.
Yeah.
You know what, if you don't stand up for Jesus Christ when the time comes when you go back home or when you're here in camp, you know what? You are going to have that as a pattern in your life for the rest of your days. There has to come a time when you make a stand for God and you say, enough is enough. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to make a stand for God. There has to come that day. Otherwise, you're going to keep compromising. You need to make a stand. Look at verse 47. You know, when the Israelites heard that Goliath, you know, they were afraid. They were backing off. You know, they heard the same words, but they didn't see the opportunity. But David saw the opportunity. You know, some of you are all hearing the same words in the preaching. Some of you are bored and some of you are excited and wanting to hear more. Some of you are hoping I should keep preaching for 3 more hours. Nobody said amen at that point. I just lost the crowd. But you know what? There's probably somebody listening in here. So we'll keep going. Look at verse 49. 4 Samuel 17. Verse 49. I'm not going on for that much longer. And David put his hand in his bag and he took hence a stone and he slung it and he smote the Philistine in the forehead that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face onto the earth. Well, listen, folks. You know what? David knew God could deliver him. He knew that God could do the supernatural. You know, God in David's eyes was much bigger than Goliath. You all understand that. You know what? He knew that God could use him at that point in his life. Let's read verse 49. So David turned, was it David or God that killed Goliath that day? Now hang on. Let's retreat, right? We just read that David slung the stone that went into the Philistine's head. So why you give me the answer that God done it? He directed the stone. So what you're saying is the miracle on that day was the accuracy of the stone. Maybe it was a spiky stone and it was just pure sharp. It was like one of them skimmers that skim along the water. You know what? It wasn't the accuracy that got Goliath that day. It wasn't the heaviness of the stone. It wasn't how hard David threw the stone. I'm sure David was out on the side of the hill looking after the sheep and, you know, when he'd see rabbits and stuff, he'd be flinging stones at them. When he saw the neighbour sheep, he'd be flinging stones at them, you know, to get them away in the good grass. You know, I'm sure that he was an expert with bottles of Coke on the wall and flinging stones. I'm sure he was an expert. But you know what? That day when he went out, he wasn't flinging stones just like normal. That day he went out, he flung one stone. And the Bible says, it penetrated the forehead of Goliath. That's an interesting thing to say. It penetrated the forehead of Goliath. Do you know what, folks? I could get everybody in here. I could give you 10 stones. I could stand, Robbie, against this post. I could have you all stand here. Robbie, you're from Northern Ireland. You need to take it. Your man took a slap in the face. You can take a couple of stones. We could stand Robbie there, which would be okay. You know, he would be okay. And we could all stand here. I'm sure David was miles away from Goliath. And we could have 10 stones each. And we could throw them as hard as we wanted. But you know what? I doubt if even one of them would penetrate Robbie's forehead. Now, folks, Robbie has a big head and a thick skull. I get you, Robbie. But you know what? None of us would get a stone to penetrate Robbie's head. You know what, folks? One stone from God's hand was able to penetrate the biggest, baddest, meanest guy that was on that battlefield that day. And you know what you've been in? You've been in camp all week, and you know what the preachers have been doing? They've been throwing stones at you. They've been flinging stones at you. And you know what they're hoping? They're hoping God will just anoint one of them stones, and one of them stones will penetrate your head and will go right into your head. Because you know what? That's what we do in the RU. We just preach in the RU and teach people the Bible. And you have these big tough guys coming out of jail and all that, tattoos all over them, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff wrote on their bodies, you know, after being all over the place, killing people and robbing people. But you know what? You're just hoping that one of the stones that you throw in preaching one day will hit them in the head and penetrate their hearts. And you know what? It only takes one stone from God to take down the hardest, biggest guy that's out there. And you know what? I wonder this week, are you looking to be hitting the forehead with a stone, or are you ducking and weaving the preaching? I'll look at anything rather than concentrate on the preaching. I'll read anything rather than concentrate on the preaching. You know, I'll count the letters up here on the sign. You know what? When I was in church, I used to count the bricks on the wall. And don't pretend you haven't done that, because you're a liar if you do. I'm sure you all know how many stones has built your church. But let me tell you, folks, it only takes one stone from the hand of God, one word from the mouth of God, one sermon from God to take down any man, woman, young person, old person. You know why? Because God is the one that knows exactly where to put it. But you know what, folks? Goliath wasn't wanting to get hit that day. He still got hit. You know what? You mightn't be wanting to get hit, but God can still hit you. But it would be much better for you if, when God's throwing the stones, you're jumping, trying to get them. You know, jumping, trying to get them. And get as many stones penetrating your life as you can. Get as much out of camp as you can. Spend as much time as you can with your counselor. Spend as much time as you can with good friends, with the people that are going right, that are wanting to be at camp, the people that are wanting God to work in their life, the people that are wanting to be like David, the people that are wanting them characteristics in their life. Because you know what? If you do, you'll go out more profitable than anybody else. You will stand out from the crowd. You will be a David. You will learn to stand up for Jesus Christ. You will learn to do what God wants you to do. You will learn to get a good work ethic in your life, that whatever God asks you to do, you'll do with everything that's in you. It doesn't matter if it's looking after sheep. It doesn't matter if it's preaching, if it's going to Bible college, if it's going to school. You will do whatever God wants you to do with all the effort that you have. When I was a drug addict, I put every ounce of effort that I had in it. I invested every single penny that I had. You know why I have no tattoos on my body? Is it because I wouldn't have got them? No, it's because I wouldn't spend any money on them. I'd spend it on drugs. I made a heavy investment in my life. Everything that I had, everything. Every time I got money for Christmas clothes, you know what it went on? Drugs. Went on myself. You know what? I made heavy investments in my own pleasure. But you know what, folks? It left me empty. This week, you're getting a chance to invest in your life. You're getting a chance to invest a heavenly investment that will set you up for months to come. But you have to be willing to take the stone in the head and do whatever it takes. One more, right? We'll do one more and then we'll end. We're nearly done anyway. I wonder how you want to be hit. Look at verse 18 of chapter 19. Skip over, let your fingers do the walking over to 4 Samuel 19. Let's look at verse 18. Don't just dodge the preachers, they're trying to help you. The Bible preaching is there to help you. They're not spending hours and praying about you and hours doing sermons just so you can sit there and fall asleep. They want you to be hit right in the forehead with a word from God. But I want to finish with this talk. Verse 18. So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel at Ramah, and he told him all that Saul had done to him. You know what, folks? When David got in trouble, he didn't turn and run to the world. He didn't give up. He didn't go to drugs and drink and bad friends. You know what? When David was in trouble, he fled to the man of God in his life. He fled to the preacher. He fled to where God was. He went and he got advice off godly counsel. He didn't go to his friends that would tell him what he wanted to hear. When David was in trouble, and listen, no matter the best will in the world for all you, no matter how good a person you are, there are going to be times in your life where you're going to do wrong, and you're going to blow it, and you're going to mess up. Because you know what? When I was in church, you know what? I thought I'd be in church forever at one stage. But you know what? I messed up. I got into wrong friends, and I never went back to church. I ended up being a drug addict. I've never went back to church for over 7 years. And let me tell you, if I had just gone back to the preacher when it first happened, I ended up having to go back to the preacher after all them years anyway. But I would have gone back with a clean heart and a pure mind rather than being utterly contaminated and utterly hurt. You know what? When you go through hard trials, when you go through pressures, when you go through difficulties, make sure you run back to the preacher. Make sure you run back to God. Run back to where God is. Run back to where you know God is and where people are hearing from God. Now, there will be times that you mess up, but make sure you remember that God is a God of second chances. And no matter how far you go away, you're not too far for God. You're not too far for God. No matter how hard your heart is tonight, you're not too far for God. God still will draw you back in if you would just allow Him to. God would still work in your life if you would let Him. God wants to work in your life. You know, David messed up, but he returned to the Lord. You know, in my life I messed up, but you know what? I returned to the Lord, and the Lord restored the years that the locusts had eaten. And God would do the same for you. I was backsliding for years in the world, and it took me a long time to get back. But you know what? The damage I've done in my life, I paid a heavy price for my sin. And I told you, I'm still paying the price today. You know what, folks? If you're away from the Lord, return to the Lord. If you're in trouble, get back to the Lord, because He's bigger than your problem. You know, speak to the preacher. You know, David got some good advice and it kept him right. You know, David learned to be a king by learning the lessons of life when he was a young person. He learned to have a clean heart. He learned to be a servant. You know, he learned to be brave. He learned to stand up and speak out for the Lord. And most of all, he learned a valuable, valuable lesson. If you mess up, get right. If you mess up, get right. And if you've never been right, tonight is the night where you could get right.
Amen.
You could get right. You can never be on the road to being somebody like David until the day you come and you meet with God for yourself and you learn to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You're thinking there's something missing in your life probably tonight. Well, I can tell you what it is. And I didn't need to go to school to find out. You're missing God in your life. The emptiness is a God-shaped hole that you're needing to fill. And only God can fill it. If you're away from God, come back to God tonight. But if you haven't ever been to God, you come and confess your sin to God tonight. And God will welcome you into His kingdom with open arms. The angels will rejoice. We'll rejoice. You know what? You will have turned a corner in your life that you will never, ever regret. And you will have started a relationship that you will have for the rest of your days that will profit you more than anything else you could do in your entire life. God is the God of second chances. But you know what? He's also the God that can save you from your sin. Bow your heads and close your eyes, please.